Okay, so let's jump into this fascinating case. All right. Imagine this. You're a law student just starting to wrap your head around property law, right? And suddenly, bam, you're hit with this scenario, like a real world situation. You know,
yeah.
You're facing eviction from your apartment.
Oh, yeah.
And the court's telling you, hold on, to even get a jury to look at your case, you got to deposit months and months of back rent into some escrow account.
Wow.
Does that even sound remotely fair? I mean, does that seem like it jives with, you know, basic constitutional rights?
It's a really good question. And this is exactly the kind of situation that a 1985 Maryland case tackled head on.
Oh, wow.
It's called Lucky Ned Peppers LTD versus Columbia Park and Recreation Asinus Scrutin. You know, and this case really had a big impact on how rent escrow laws work in Maryland. And it gets right to the heart of a tenant's right to a jury trial.
Okay, so we're talking about a case that has some, you know, real world consequences here.
Absolutely.
Especially for anyone dealing with landlord-tenant issues.
Mm-hmm.
So who are these players in this legal drama? We've got Lucky Ned Peppers LTD.
Right.
Sounds like a bar or a restaurant, maybe.
Yeah, they were running a bar and restaurant. It seems like it was at a golf course.
Oh, interesting.
They were the tenants.
Okay, and on the other side?
Columbia Park and Recreation is a Sarah. They were the landlord in this whole thing.
Got it. So the landlord, Columbia Park, decides to take Lucky Ned Peppers to court.
Yeah, basically they wanted to get their property back. You know, essentially evict them. Plus, they were after any back rent that they claimed was owed.
Okay, eviction and back rent demands. So what did Lucky Ned Peppers do? I mean, how did they respond to this?
Well, they wanted their day in court. They asked for a jury trial. I mean, that's a pretty fundamental right we have, you know, to have a jury of our peers decide the case.
Right, that's a big one.
It's meant to ensure fairness, you know, to prevent any abuse of power.
Checks and balances.
Exactly.
But there's a twist, right?
Yeah. Here's where things get interesting. So in Maryland back then, there was this specific part of their law, the Maryland Real Property Code, Section 8118. And this section basically said, if you're a tenant in a dispute about unpaid rent and you want a jury trial, well, you got to pay up front.
Pay up front? Like, what do you mean?
You have to deposit all of the back rent that's supposedly owed and all the rent that's going to come due while the case is going on, all of it into an escrow account controlled by the court.
So just to be clear, the district court actually ordered Lucky Ned Peppers to pay not just the past due rent, but also the future rent.
Yeah, and think about it. I mean, for a lot of people, that could be a huge financial burden, right? Like, it could prevent them from even getting their case heard.
Right. That seems like it goes against the whole idea of, you know, access to justice.
Yeah, and Lucky Ned Pepper saw it that way, too. They challenged this mandatory escrow thing, saying it was unconstitutional. But unfortunately, they lost their first fight at the circuit court.
Oh, so the circuit court upheld the statute.
They did. But Lucky Ned Peppers didn't give up.
They appealed.
They took their case to the next level. The Maryland Court of Special Appeals, which is kind of like their middle level appeals court.
Okay, and that's where the real showdown happened, right?
Yeah.
This is where the core conflict of the case comes out. On one hand, you've got this state law that says you got to pay to play.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you want a jury trial, pony up the cash. But on the other hand, you have this fundamental constitutional right to a jury trial.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the court saw that tension. They acknowledged it. The right to a jury trial, it's not just some procedural technicality. It's rooted in our history and our legal tradition going way back. It's like the court said the anchor to our constitutional principles. Mm. You know, it makes sure that the government is held accountable.
So powerful words, anchor to constitutional principles.
Mm-hmm.
So what were Lucky Ned Peppers' specific constitutional arguments? Why do they say this escrow requirement violated their rights?
Well, they had a couple of main points. First, they argued that forcing them to pay all this money up front to get a jury trial basically undermined their right to that trial. You know, like it created a barrier, a financial barrier that many people couldn't overcome.
Right.
And their second point was this. They questioned whether there was any real difference constitutionally between requiring escrow for past due rent and requiring it for future rent, like the rent that would come due while the case was still being fought.
That's a good distinction. I mean, intuitively, it feels different, right?
Yeah.
Like one is paying for something you're currently using, while the other is almost like admitting you owe something before it's even been decided. So how did the Court of Special Appeals handle these arguments? What was their decision?
So the court was very thoughtful in their approach. They broke it down, really analyzing the escrow requirement for past due rent and future rent separately.
Okay, smart. So let's start with the past due rent. What did they say about that?
They were pretty clear on that one. Requiring the escrow of past due rent as a condition for getting a jury trial that's unconstitutional
just flat out unconstitutional.
Yeah, the reasoning was pretty straightforward. They said making the tenant deposit that past due rent basically assumes that the money is actually owed.
Right, but that's what the whole trial is supposed to figure out.
Exactly. It's like saying you have to pay a bill before you can even argue about whether you actually owe it.
Right. Doesn't make sense.
The court basically said that forcing a tenant to pay that disputed amount into escrow before a jury even gets to hear the evidence, you know, that basically undermines the whole point of a jury trial. It's the jury's job to figure out what's true and who owes what.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
So what about the future rent, the rent that would come due during the court case? Did they see that the same way?
Nope. That's where they drew a line. They said that requiring the escrow of future rent can be okay constitutionally.
Wait, so that is allowed?
Well, their reasoning was that a tenant shouldn't be able to live on the property without paying rent while they're fighting the eviction in court. They called it a reasonable regulation, a reasonable trade-off for staying on the property. They basically said, look, if you want to stay here and fight this case, you got to pay for the privilege of remaining.
Hmm. So it sounds like there's this tension between protecting the landlord's rights and making sure the tenant has a fair shot in court.
Absolutely. It's about finding a balance. And this is a situation where even though the rule might seem reasonable, it still might be a burden on some tenants, especially those who are arguing about whether the place is even livable in the first place.
Right.
If the problem is that the apartment's a mess and you're withholding rent because of that, well, it's tough to then have to pay future rent into escrow just to get your case heard.
So past rent escrow, future rent escrow, maybe. Okay.
Yeah.
Did the court come up with a specific legal test to help figure out whether these escrow rules are constitutional?
They did. It's a three-part test.
Okay. I love a good three-part test.
Right. So first, any rule that makes you escrow past due rent to get a jury trial that's out, unconstitutional.
Got it.
Second, requiring future rent escrow can be okay, but it has to be a reasonable regulation.
Reasonable.
Right.
Okay.
And third, and this is really important, tenants got to have procedural due process.
Due process. That's a big one. So what does that mean in this situation with rent escrow?
Basically, it means even with future rent, tenants have a right to a hearing.
Okay.
A chance to argue that the amount of rent being asked for is unreasonable.
Mm.
You know, they might have reasons why they shouldn't have to pay the full amount, or they might just not be able to afford it. And that hearing it protects them from just being automatically slammed with a huge escrow payment.
So it's not just a one size fits all kind of thing.
No, it's about making sure the law considers individual circumstances.
Makes sense.
Mm.
You mentioned earlier that the court called the right to a jury trial a sacred right. That's pretty strong language. What were they getting at there?
It shows how seriously they take this right. You know, they even quoted this amazing line that calls trial by jury the only anchor ever yet imagined by man by which a government can be held to the principles of its constitution.
Wow, that's powerful.
Right. It's like the foundation of our legal system is what makes sure that decisions are made fairly by everyday people, not just by judges who might be biased or make mistakes.
Okay. So even though the court said future rent escrow can be allowed, they're still really emphasizing the importance of that jury trial right.
Absolutely. And there's another important point here. A tenant can actually lose their right to a jury trial if they refuse to pay future rent into escrow without a good reason.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So while that initial hurdle of past due rent escrow is out the window, they still have to comply with the court's orders about future rent if they want to go forward with that jury trial.
So there's still some responsibility on the tenant's part.
Right.
Okay, so this case really had an impact on the whole landlord-tenant dynamic.
Yeah.
How did it shift the balance of power, you know, in terms of legal rights?
Well, it tried to level the playing field a bit. Before this case, landlords could basically use that past due rent escrow requirement to pressure tenants into settling or even force them to give up because they couldn't afford it.
Right.
And that's not fair. You know, yeah. This case prevents that. It protects tenants from being denied their day in court just because they might be struggling financially.
Makes sense.
But at the same time, by allowing a future rent escrow, it provides some protection for landlords.
Yeah.
They're not just left empty-handed while the tenant continues living on their property.
Right.
So it's an attempt to find a balance to make things a bit more equitable during those legal battles.
A balancing act.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, so for all those future lawyers out there listening, mm-hmm. What's the big takeaway from Lucky Ned Peppers? What should they be thinking about?
Here's a real-world hypothetical situation. Imagine there's a law that requires tenants to escrow both past due and future rent to get a jury trial, but it doesn't give them any chance to argue against it.
Okay.
No, hearing no way to say, hey, I can't afford that, or that's not a reasonable amount.
Based on what we've talked about today, do you think that law would hold up in court?
That's a great question. And considering the principles we've discussed from Lucky Ned Peppers, it seems very likely that at least that part about past due rent without a hearing that wouldn't fly constitutionally.
Makes sense.
And even for the future rent part, the fact that there's no opportunity for a hearing to consider the tenant's individual circumstances, that would probably raise some red flags too.
Okay, so big picture, what's the main lesson from Lucky Ned Peppers?
I think it boils down to this. Lucky Ned Peppers draws this really important line in the sand. It says, requiring past due rent escrow as a condition for a jury trial that's generally a no-go. It steps on the jury's toes, you know, because it assumes the tenant actually owes the money before the jury has even had a chance to look at the evidence.
All right.
But it also says, hey, requiring future rent escrow can be okay as long as it's a reasonable rule.
Okay.
And the key word there is reasonable.
And the court can't just decide that on its own right. The tenant needs a chance to have their say.
Exactly. That's where procedural due process comes in. The tenant has the right to a hearing to argue about the specifics of that escrow order.
Okay. So for our listeners, think about this. Lucky Ned Peppers, it's all about trying to strike a balance. It's trying to protect the landlord's interests, but also make sure that tenants, especially those who might not have a lot of money, have a real chance to fight their case in court.
Yeah, it's complex.
So here's something to ponder as we wrap up. Does this case with this balance that it tries to strike, does it actually represent a fair compromise? I mean, it's a tough question, right?
Yeah.
And it's something that continues to be debated and refined in the world of landlord-tenant law.
That's a really good point. And, you know, maybe in a future deep dive, we can take a look at how rent escrow laws have evolved since Lucky Ned Peppers came out.
Yeah.
Or we could even see how other states handle this issue. The law, it's constantly changing. There's always more to explore.
Absolutely. Always more to learn. All right, folks, that's a wrap on another deep dive. We'll see you next time.